probably easiest if Mr. Sullivan introduces you on this.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, I think it's probably most efficient if Mr. Sullivan addresses you on this utilities rather than me addressing on it.
Yes, you want Mr. Sullivan. That's why I thought it was useful to have that. Give you the opportunity to do that. Would you like us to hear Mr. Sullivan's summary first,
yes,
and then she can carry on?
Yes, I think that's sensible because she has also prepared a table which compares the provisions in Chapter 30 and Chapter 72, which may provide some further assistance with this discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, so just start at paragraph 2, then we have.
Yes, that's fine.
Beautiful. So, Chapter 30 of the PDP, as you're well aware, relates to energy and utilities. While I generally consider the provisions in Chapter 30 to be appropriate, particularly insofar as they relate to traditional utilities, I consider that some further amendment is required in order to ensure that the operational constraints of utilities is appropriately recognised and provided for, and Queensland and Wanaka airports are not inadvertently captured by the rules contained in Chapter 30. As we've talked about, the definition of utility in the PDP includes anything described as a network utility operation in Section 6.166 of the Resource Management Act, and the provisions contained in Chapter 30 therefore apply to Queensland and Wanaka Airport as network utility operations under the Resource Management Act. Clarification note 30.3.3 sets out that the rules contained in Chapter 30 take precedence over any other rules that may apply to energy and utilities in the district plan, unless specifically stated to the contrary. While I agree that this approach is appropriate in the context of traditional utilities, Chapter 30 does not contemplate the range of activities provided for in modern airports. Such activities are instead provided for by Chapter 17 of the PDP. Given that there is an entire chapter within the PDP dedicated to Queenstown Airport, I suspect that this was not the intent of the Council to inadvertently capture land use activities associated with airports in Chapter 30. By doing so, parts of Chapter 17 are negated. I attach as Appendix A a table which shows a different consenting approach for utilities under Chapter 30 and infrastructure under Chapter 17. Now, would you like me to take you through that table now, or?
Yes, I think.
Okay.
We'll deal with this topic.
Okay.
Now.
So, in the left-hand column, I have set out all of the activities that are provided for in Chapter 30. The parameters are kind of where there's, controls on what those activities might look like. The Chapter 30 column has the activity status. Chapter 17 has the corresponding activity status for that same activity in Chapter 17. Now, just to note that, and Ms. Wolf has previously touched on this, that Chapter 17 uses the term infrastructure, so it doesn't use the term utility. Infrastructure does have a catch-all reference to Section 166 in the Act. So they do largely correspond with each other, but the PVP definition excludes generation, excludes sewage treatment, and that's about it. Yeah, and then and then you'll see here that is footnote number 4. I've noted that an airport-related activity must be, so going back a step, Airport related activity includes the word infrastructure. So infrastructure is considered an airport related activity if it's correctly identified by Commissioner Nugent, is that it has to be an auxiliary activity or service that provides support to the airport. So a utility establishing independent of the airport within the Queensland Airport Mixed Use Zone would require resource consent as a restricted discretionary activity. Because it's not an airport related activity, if it's a different purpose.
Unless Chapter 30 provides for...
Good clarification. So, insofar as a utility provides for... insofar as an infrastructure activity relates to an airport-related activity, the airport mixed use zone chapter, as you can see by the green here, is much more enabling. So green identifies where the more enabling provision sits. So in terms of creating a more restrictive regime, generally speaking, the airport mixed use zone provisions are more enabling. The one difference is when you come to, if you breach a height restriction, which is on page 2 of 7. Telecommunications or radio communication, navigation or meteorological communication facilities, on the page. If you exceed the height limits of the zone in the utilities chapter, you would be a controlled activity, whereas in the airport mixed use zone chapter, you would be a restricted discretionary activity. So that's the only place where that differs. As I say, though, this is only insofar as it relates to infrastructure that supports the airport. So what I was just trying to do here is demonstrate the issues.
No, that table's helpful, and I'm just wondering, having seen that, the airport-related activities as defined are only at present provided for in the Queenstown Airport Mixed Use Zone. Is that correct?
Yes, airport-related activities. Presumably, if
the panel were to agree with what the airport company is proposing at Wanaka, they would therefore be enabled there as well.
Yes, but there are separate definitions. So, airport activity and airport related activity are different for the two airports.
Sorry, you need to speak up.
Sorry, airport and airport related activities. And have different definitions for each airport.
Yes. Is it therefore an even simpler solution to just say that utilities does not include airport related activities occurring in the respective zone? And then, so section 30, the term utility will not apply to any airport related activity that's occurring within the zone, but any other utility, such as undergrounding power and telephone lines, which clearly want the permitted activity status of the utility chapter, rather than the discretionary activity status of mixed use zone would be accommodated. Would that be a sensible solution?
So that's similar to the approach that we discussed over the break, Mr. Barr as well, where you'd still, rather than tinkering with the definition of utility, have a clarification note, so where there's those exemptions reference in there, airport related activities within the Queenstown Airport Mixed Use Zone.
Yes. Well, I'm just thinking there's already the exemption at the end of the definition for, it does not include electricity generation, storage of gas, if you know, anyone wants to manufacture it in the district, or the treatment of sewage, then we could add to that in the import-related activities occurring within the Queenstown Airport Most Use Zone. Wouldn't that remove any ambiguity and potential conflict? I'm just trying to find the simplest way to do this.
Yes, I think that would also work, but we did discuss that with Mr. Barr, who expressed some concerns around the changing of the definition. So you could do it that way, or you could do it through...
We have no concerns about changing definitions. Mr. Barr may have them, but...
I think that either way works, yeah. Whether it's either the amended clarification is, as someone has just discussed, so expressly excluded airport-related activities, airport-related activities with an airport because you so from the application of Chapter 30, alternatively put it in the definition of making express exclusion of the definition. Although in the definition you'd have to have, in both cases, you'd have to reference airport and airport-related activities to Queenstown and airport and airport-related activities to Wanaka, yeah. Because that's separate definitions.
We've got at some stage to deal with whether we really need a distinction.
Yes.
But that's...
Yes,
for another
yes, 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 that's right. I think
Miss. That question in the back of my mind.
Well, we'll just note that. So I understand, Mr. Barr, I'll just address you on this as concern, and I do understand where he's coming from, is that the utilities, the definition of utilities is a little bit messy at the moment, and perhaps tinkering with it more might make it a bit more messy, and having the clarification note might be a bit more straightforward, because then you look at the chapter, and it's clear from looking at the chapter that, okay, actually for Queenstown Airport we don't need to look at this, whereas...
Yes, but you do, if you're not the airport company.
Yes, that's right, for Queenstown Airport, for airport activities, we don't need to look at this chapter, whereas otherwise you might embark on reviewing the chapter and then actually go back and look at the definition and, oh, actually, this doesn't apply to airport activities. So I think
I find that some of those clarifications tenuous at
times,
and
yes.
That I'd sooner, if we were to change the definition of utility, I think an advice note in Chapter 30 might be appropriate, clarifying that. That the definition of utility excludes those things. A clarification, well, I'm not sure the clarification is necessarily the right word, but those are clearly rules, and they seem, in some cases, to do more than just clarify.
Yes, I entirely accept your point you're making in that regard, and we can count to that number of other provisions.
Yes.
And so on that basis, I agree, so someone may have a different view, that probably is preferable to have the exclusion stated in the definition, and it would assist planning users to have an advice note drawing attention to that exclusion in our Chapter 30 itself.
I could just add some of the work that QAC has been undertaking with the Council with respect to Chapter 17, that if you had an advice note, then the Energy and Utilities chapter that would correspond quite nicely with some of the changes that we've made this year in respect to Chapter 17, which is a similar advice note which relates to airport and airport related activities. That for airport and airport related activities, the Chapter 17 also takes precedence over the utilities.
Well, yes, but there wouldn't be one dominating the other if the definition of but didn't apply, that you don't have to worry about that dominance problem.
I think that from QIC's perspective that would resolve the issue in a very tidy way.
Sinclair has to write this up, so it's he's happier.
hope you don't have to write the whole decision. It's not in the application.
Yes, I do.
Not on the entire.
Oh, no.
No, not the entire plan.
All of the plan.
So, by resolving that, yes, that then makes a whole, as I understand, quite a lot of stuff actually fall away, so we don't need to worry about quite a few items.
Yes. That's great. Okay. We'll move on to chapter 35 in the summary. Not chapter 35 in my summary. The part of my summary that relates to chapter 35. The recommendations of the council officer with respect to chapter 35 are generally acceptable in my view and should be adopted by the panel. With respect to the provisions relating to the obstacle limitation services, the council officer agrees that a clarification note is appropriate to draw attention towards the relevant QAC, QL, DC obstacle limitation designations. In my view, it is unclear how the council officer intends to incorporate this method into Table 35.4, as no corresponding activity status would apply. In the absence of such detail, I maintain that the clarification note in Section 35.3.2 is more appropriate.
Isn't there, just on that point, isn't there the two matters, the two locations, if you're trying to make the plan helpful for users, the maps showing the limitation services is probably one location where an advice note should advise people that they need the airport's company's approval to go through those limitations. Even for temporary activities, as well as within the text.
Yes, that would be beneficial to have them in both locations. I think where the issue lies with the maps is that you have all of the district plan maps,
mm-hmm,
and then you have figures 1 to 4 at the back, and nobody looks past the zone maps.
Well, I think I think that's something that when we get to the mapping, certainly look at, but certainly map 31A, which is effectively the airport map, should probably have reference to it, to the service limitation maps, so to make it clear that those also apply. I think the operative one has the limitations superimposed on the maps.
No, it doesn't.
Some planning maps around the country do.
Yes,
yes. It more easily understood.
Yep, so definitely other districts do have it in their zone maps.
Mm.
And I think that's where the issue has arises, is that people just don't actually know it exists.
And how far they extend.
That is one of the big issues. Particularly the topography. You know, if your topography is already penetrating that surface and then you want to do something on your site, you're already above the OLS.
I had a hearing on Slope Hill Road where they almost breached surfaces because, of course, that is rising ground.
Mm-hmm.
But they hadn't considered it.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't thought that that might be relevant.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that, in one of my, some of the work that I do undertake for mezzanine while I struck that regular basis.
I don't know if the airport has lodged submissions on the maps in that respect, but I'm hoping that you will bring it to the pack.
I'm sure that there's a consultation.
I mean, it's unlikely that we'll hear the zoning issues in the Waikato Basin for the airport before the middle of next year.
Sorry, what was that? The mapping hearing thing?
The mapping is unlikely to be before the middle of next year. Because I don't know if you will have received the minute I sent out the other day, the other two the first.
So
I'm
still
see how long that will take. If that takes over a month, that takes us into June.
So just a slight digression from this hearing, but so QAC has submissions on various rezoning requests around the airport. It's the intention that the rezoning requests in the upper Clifford area will be heard first, and then the various areas will be scheduled subsequently, probably carrying through some months into the that part of the year. Is that the intention?
Yes, we'll get the upper Clifford as one group out of the way, and that and then, because the Wapiti Basin study will take some time, we can then hear the other matters in this side of the Crown Range, and finally end up with the Wapiti Basin study. That's generally how I'm thinking.
Yeah,
to the proposed amendments to the mechanical ventilation and sound insulation requirements. There appears to be agreement between the experts that further amendments are required to these provisions to reflect modern building practices and advances in technology. And therefore consider it appropriate for these provisions to be updated. Mr. Day and Mr. Roberts have provided detailed evidence with respect to this measure, so I won't go into that any further. With respect to Rule 36.63, with respect to Rule 36.6.3, for the reasons set out in paragraph 5.33 of my evidence, I maintain it is appropriate for Rule 36.6.3 and Table 36.7 to remain separate. Just if I may, I just want to step aside from this for a moment. While we were hearing evidence from Mr. Day, I noted that. And the provisions as amended by the Section 42A report officer, there is a rule there that says sound from aircraft movements within designated airports is permitted. And QAC lodged a submission that said that that was superfluous and could be deleted. Glenorchy Airport is designated as well. So by striking that out, it would also affect Glenorchy Airport, which it should take into consideration.
Yes, I'm not sure the intention related to the Auckland Airport, because when we had the rules being hearings, I raised this issue of referring to those designated airports at that stage, and my recollection was the council officers were thinking of Queenstown and Wanaka. And so I don't think it matters. Is the issue of aircraft movement noise at Glenorchy an issue?
I have not turned my mind to that. When I was sitting in the back of the room, that there's more than two designated airports in the district, there is a third one.
Yes.
What's the rule number you're referring to?
It has been struck out in the section 42A, but it's...
Was 42?
42A report?
So yeah.
It's struck out number, yep.
Yeah, 36.4.6. I have
in
my mind what
other impacts
that might have, but it sounds like
well, striking it out, you know, striking out permitted activity, unless it was captured by something else that will still be permitted in Section 9, won't it? Whereas at Queenstown and Wanaka, there are control boundaries that control the level of noise.
That is not
not directly submitted on by QAC, but I just thought I would bring to the attention of the panel that rule 36.6.1 relates to the rural visitor zone at Waikiki Airport. And I just noted that placing that rule here in that particular element, or sorry, in the particular location of the plan, is inconsistent with the approach used throughout the remainder of the plan. So similar rules have been applied to each of the zones, so in the zone rules rather than in the noise chapter.
So I raised query with Ms. Scott about that anyway, because that zone is not part of
it. It's not part of this, yes.
Then we have no indication to the panel that that zone is even going to continue. And until the stage two is much like we have no knowledge. So
I'm
not for the scope to delete it.
No, I would agree with you, but it just...
It's an inconsistency, yes.
Yes, yeah, I just thought it was worth noting. I'm not sure where this chapter is going to end up, so...
I'm hoping that some of these things that we highlighted will be dealt with in stage two, and then we won't end up with them, having to deal with them again. Thank you. Commissioner Sinclair, do you have any questions?
Yes, please. And just turning to your evidence, Ms. O'Sullivan, 3.17. Where you've suggested an amendment there to remove the special character areas and replace it with natural, outstanding natural landscapes. Do you think that that should include outstanding natural features as well?
Yes. Just so I'm clear on that, I apologise, I haven't got the underlining. I've had a few formatting issues recently, and this appears to be one of them. The underlining hasn't come through on the changes. But yes, I would agree that features does need to be in there. However, QAC were a further submission on this matter, so I have suggested alternative drafting that I think would be more appropriate, but I don't really have jurisdiction to make such amendment. But yes, I would agree that features would be appropriate in there.
Yeah, scope is limited by what the submission is.
Yes.
But for check, was it all scope, isn't so limited?
Yes. Yeah, so it's noted there.
We might be able to find it on the submission.
Yes, that's the exact intent of that point. So I should have clarified that in that particular element.
Moving across the page to 3.20, we've recommended some changes there in regard to the policy. By removing the term reduce and replacing it with manage, I don't understand how that then tells you what the purposes you're managing it for. It just seems that you are managing the effects, but to what end?
Yes, I take your point. If you do have a juice, it does provide you with that. So,
thank you. My last one was just in regard 4.6. About temporary air shows and for all birds over Wanaka and I apologise to the parties for even bringing this up the other day, so I'll do it again. But it's a matter of, it's a temporary air show, but in terms of the term temporary activity, that has some kind of time element to it. But this thing occurs at Easter every year, it's known, therefore, how does it meet the definition of a temporary activity?
So, yes, Miss Banks, I believe, touched on that in her evidence, and I accepted that point. So, when it comes to Wanaka Airport potentially being included in Chapter 17, I do intend to address that matter there, and that if there's a regular event, so it'll be more around air shows rather than temporary air shows.
Because the other question I asked was Banks, but she wasn't able to help us, was that she'd never been to the air show, so it's about what were the effects beyond the designated area, or what might be the airport mixed use activity area, and how would they be accounted for. But it sounds like you'll be able to address that at the that hearing.
Yes.
Will you be able to provide evidence of the extent of the effects of the issue?
Yes, we can provide the evidence.
Yeah.
And this will only apply to Wanaka Airport as well, not Queenstown Airport.
Well, yes, yes.
Yeah, so there'll be, I understand that there isn't capacity in topography as well, it's constraints
right, yeah.
for air shows, so it's not. You have an option
no.
in Queenstown. It's just
Monica. Could I suggest also, Ms. O'Sullivan, I had some experience dealing with the setting of the out of control boundary and the inner-west boundary for the Ardmore Aerodrome, and they have extensive provisions written into the what was the Papakura district planning, and it may well be now the unitary. Certainly the pre-unitary plans on provisions for air shows at Ardmore Airport. You might find some useful assistance there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Lee, thank you.
Ms. Lee, is that you have any? Just going back to your evidence in paragraph 3.20 in your redrafted policy 3271. In the first bullet point, you deleted the first part and you added protecting what you've changed, so it now seems protecting those matters from inappropriate development. How is a decision maker able to understand from that policy what is appropriate development?
There are, I don't have it listed in there, but there are numerous other policies within the plan which identify activities in landscape areas and things like that in Chapter 6, which you know provides a bit of a steer towards the parameters around which utilities or infrastructure can establish. So I would be looking towards those policies.
So if we were to make that policy consistent with the way we're recommending the policies in Chapter 6, that would meet your concerns and the way it should be drafted. Thank you, Mr. Silver. Did you have anything else before?
No, thank you. That's I think been well
seem to have resolved the issues that we had anticipated might be, might have some more difficulty with. That's the case for QAC on this, these chapters, and we'll see you again at chapter 7.
Yes, the next green residential, I'm sure we'll see residential streams. Yes.
We'll have another discussion about PC 35.
Is there any indication as to when the court may finalise this?
That's the million
dollars.
Where things are in that regard, I understand, because I'm no longer directly involved in the proceedings, the Lot 6 proceedings, which is what PC 35 was tied up with, obviously.
Yes.
They went to the Environment Court, to the High Court, back in the Environment Court, and have had two hearings in the Environment Court. At the moment, QAC is preparing, and I think it has completed the aeronautical study, which relates to the appropriate separation distance of the parallel taxiway, which is varying on how much of Lot 6 is required. I think that is that report or the outcome of that is due to be provided to the court shortly. And the I understand the court will then make its final decision on the Lot 6 NOR. And then we will be requesting that it very shortly thereafter makes its final decision on PC 35. But the difficulty is that there's a high likelihood that the Lot 6 decision will be appealed again to the High Court. And so I don't know where that leads us.
And the Supreme Court.
All the courts in the land. That's right. So so it's an issue for us as to how we get that final decision from the Environment Court, because the situation is just very unsatisfactory at the moment. PC 35 was promulgated 8 years ago now. We've had a decision on the provisions from the court effectively for 3 years. And we're in the situation where we don't have operative noise boundaries in the vicinity of Lot 6, but they are, I say, can be deemed operative everywhere else, and we've just got to get some resolution on this issue and some certainty for planned users in the council.
Yes, it was Ms. Scott's submission yesterday reminding me of something I missed in the reply to the other one, that the OCB showing on the maps, apart from all the remarkable parts,
is a little bit wrong.
Well, her submission was that it's right.
It's right.
But if it's a little bit wrong, can I make the suggestion that you discuss that with Mr. Barr, because that could be fixed at stage two?
Oh, QAC has made a submission on that. It's wrong to the extent that incorrect data was inadvertently provided to the council at the time, or prior to them being notified. And,
so your submission covers
it. Yes, it does. So there is scope to correct that through this process.
Through this process.
And just as an aside, just in terms of the status of noise boundaries in the vicinity of Lot 6, we are currently doing some work on that.
I'm hoping we don't have to worry about that, because if Remarkable's Park Zone is not part of the proposed plan, it's not our concern.
Well, yes, that's right, but you'll just need to show it in some way.
No, we won't. We'll show there's a blank white area.
Well, okay, if that's the way it's to be shown, and that's fine. So that may be the way to deal with it, with perhaps a note that there is still, you've got to look at the council decision version on PC 35, and but that's something we're currently trying to figure out how we can resolve this everywhere else, and so we can present it in a way that district plan users can understand what the position is, and council staff can understand what the position is. Because at the moment, no one knows other than Mr. Sullivan and I.
Has the airport company provided the council with the right?
Yes, in terms of this other issue.
Yes.
Well, they're appended to QAC.
So if the maps were reprinted with accompanying our recommendations, we could have them reprinted with the right boundary line with no further
Yes, that's right. So there are two issues. There's the issue of the incorrect data, which didn't relate to Lot 6, and that was what was included in the notified plan. So QAC submission addresses that and provides the right map. And then separate to that, there's the issue of what happens in the vicinity of Lot 6, where the boundaries aren't settled, and how do we address this in the plan. And that's something else we're working on separate to this process to try and get it resolved, but we'll perhaps have a bearing on present that to you, so you've got a set of boundaries that you can pick up that resolve this data issue, and also find a solution, being sort of a holding position for the boundaries in the vicinity of Lot 6.
Okay.
It's an ongoing task.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just what we'll do at 2 p.m.
Thank you.